Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Alex Selber.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman.
Boothman.
And our third co-host, Justin Tyler. Unfortunately, couldn't be here tonight because he got engaged.
Yeah, that's right. He chose love over comic books. I don't know how they're going
to
last.
That seems like a terrible choice to me.
Yeah, horrible choice.
Can you put love in a Mylar bag?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
That's called a comic book.
Yep.
Oh, right. Okay, yep. Well, that's what I was suggesting.
Yeah. And then later, if enough time goes by and you really take care of that comic and really love it, you can make some money off of that.
just like a marriage.
Wow, that was awesome. Deep personal stuff there, Pete.
I didn't think about that bit before I started it.
So. I saw it like decomposing as you were talking.
And if you keep your wife long enough, you can sign. If you want.
You got to take care of her, though. You got to take care of her.
She has to be looking nice. You got to put her in a plastic case.
She's got to be nice and fresh.
Yeah.
What?
And over time, it just becomes too convoluted and complicated, and you're like, oh, I don't have time for this.
Don't buy.
And of course, what you guys came here for is a lot of marriage-based humor,
yep,
right?
Marriage-based humor.
Marriage book
cool.
club.
Actually, here's what I was thinking, Pete.
Sure.
Since Justin isn't here this week, you know, Justin has this bit that he likes to do. We have a section later on the show called Week in Geek, where we talk about TV shows, movies, video games, things like that, having to do with comic book stuff. And at the end, we always have a section that we love called Pete's Arrow Corner.
Right.
And usually what happens in Pete's Arrow Corner is Pete tries to talk about the hit CW show.
Hit show.
Arrow. And then Justin immediately cuts him off.
Right.
So I was thinking, since Justin isn't here tonight,
oh boy,
what if we change this from Comic Book Club to Pete and Alex's Arrow Hour?
Who is excited?
Nobody, probably. Oh. Nobody,
in
probably.
Case you guys are listening at home, Stephen Amell is in the corner clapping by himself right
now.
Yep. That's the guy who plays Arrow and Arrow for the rest of you. But I'm very excited.
Let's get this Arrow show started.
This is our Arrow show. We have two vigilantes who are going to be joining us here tonight. We're very excited to have them. They are the creators of the new first, second book, Cute Girls Network. Ladies and gentlemen, M.K. Reed and Joe Flood.
Yeah, give it up for them. Welcome, guys. Have a seat. Yeah.
Come on up. Sit on down. All right, guys. So, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for talking about your new book, Cute Girl Network, which is a Cute Girl Network or Cute Girls Network? I asked you that earlier.
Cute Girl Network.
Cute Girl Network?
Yes. Yeah.
So, it's not much of a network if it's only one girl.
It's not, but it's about lots of girls.
What about the Oprah Winfrey Network? That's one girl.
I think she hires other girls.
No, it's all her.
Really? It's just her for 24
hours?
No,
I'm sure of it. I'm positive.
Oh, okay, great.
It feels on there, right?
So tell us a little bit about the book and how it relates to the CW show, The Arrow. You don't actually have to do the second part.
There is no archery at all.
That's probably a good sign. Does the main character have a quiver full of like boxing glove and magnet and exploding gas arrows? No?
You should know this show. I do, but
Well, I tried to sneak them in, but I think they got caught on the editing room floor.
So how did your book get set up at First Second? You've done work with them before.
I had done Americus with them that came out about 2 years ago. And then kind of on a whim, I just sent them the scripts to the book. Also really stupidly without like the title or my name on it.
So
you're like, here, take this.
Yeah.
Rip it off.
Here, this is a manifesto.
But my editor, Callista, is super amazing. And she kind of like blind read it. And then when she got back to me, she's like, okay. So one, I read this once and didn't know it was you and I loved it. And two, also we want to publish it. And I'm just like, I was just sending it to you for notes. So this is
fantastic.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
And then the timing just kind of worked out that Joe was available.
Yeah.
And they want
the year before I got signed on to do a book called Orcs, which was adapting a fantasy novel series from England.
Cool.
And this couldn't be further from that.
Yeah.
That was lots of gore and blood and beheadings. And
everything
this is like cute
girls
on skateboards and falling in love and stuff. So, but it just happened that the book I was originally planned to do got, Got 86. Yeah, at the last minute, and they were like, and after MK asked me three times to do the book, and I said no because I'm doing something else. Yeah. The book, once the other one was dead, I was like, all right, I'm free. Let's do it.
So, what's the idea of the book?
It's a new girl moves to town and meets this guy, and she works in a skateboard store, and he is a soup vendor on the street. And her friends find out that she's dating him and are just like, you have to dump this guy.
He's a real go-getter, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. And so they try and convince her to break up with him.
Cool. He is not boyfriend material at all.
Just because he sells
can do better.
Soup? Is that it? Is that
no,
the only reason?
He sells soup and falls down, and that's about it.
Seems like the perfect guy.
Yeah.
You would get free soup and laughs. You know, well, what's wrong with you, ladies? That's a perfect man.
You are basically in the shoes of our main character right now. That's what she thinks, and then all of her girlfriends are saying, nah, he's not good enough for you.
So where is the network part?
Oh, yeah, we didn't get to that yet. The most important part, the network. MK, you want to take this one?
They're super organized.
It's mostly a book about soup, but we called it Cute Girl Network.
Like 98% of it is soup recipes.
Oh, okay.
We pretend it's about the network.
Great.
Well, her friend Harriet draws out all of Jack's ex-girlfriends and gets them to tell their worst stories about what they went through with their relationships. So it's also all the fun of like shit talking your exes.
Yeah, the Cute Girl Network is the network in which girls use to shit talk their exes, and that way you can navigate the dating world, you know, and avoid all the scumbags and sleaze guys.
Is this an actual thing that exists?
I think there might be like an app or something for that now. I don't even think that's a joke. I think that I don't remember what it's called, but I heard a couple like 2 months ago there was something like this. I'm like.
Well, I think, so just to take a little bit of a left turn from the plot, but there's been almost an explosion of YA graphic novels, I feel like, in the past couple of years. Why do you think that is?
Because teenagers are crazy for comics, and like,
nice.
I don't know if you remember the 90s, but...
I remember the show, I remember
Ooh,
the 90s.
Yeah.
If you were like a young girl trying to go to a comic book store, then there was not so much for you. There was like a lot of intimidating, like boob-centric artwork that was like maybe kind of make you a little uncomfortable. Versus, you know, in the past decade, when Borders was still around, you could not go down the comic book aisle without tripping over a dozen teenage girls who were...
Somebody's got to clean up those aisles.
Well, fortunately, they went out of business. Oh, okay. So, like, the
just leave them in there. We're not going to clean up the girls.
Did you find that 90s artwork intimidating? Was it Rob Liefeld's tiny feet? Those tiny, tiny feet.
I
got to
tell
you,
I'm intimidated by pouches.
They really kind of made me they made me nervous.
I mean, when I was 13 and I tried to, like, I used to go to comic book stores because my dad was super concerned that my brother, like, wasn't reading enough and, like, wasn't into books. So Spider-Man was clearly an acceptable option, and it was only fair that I also get comics.
Sure.
So I would go in and get Archie's, and then at a certain point I kind of outgrew that, and there was not yet, like, anything else that was, like, comfortable for, like, a 13-year-old
girl. So that's sweet because that means... if you had a time machine, it was like you were going back in time and giving yourself a gift. Like a younger self, like a younger you is going to walk into the comic book store and they're going to be like, yeah, there's something for me.
Yeah, except now there's like imitation. A million things for like younger kids and teens. And like some teachers will like be astounded that like kids are into comics. And it's like, where have you been like your whole life?
Well, that's a new thing relatively, right? Kids liking comics. They were mostly into like taxes and stuff for the first 90 years.
Yeah.
Right. The tax code is super interesting.
Yeah, it's super cool. Little side note that I wanted to mention with the whole girls into comics and not a lot of stuff out there thing, and this is almost apropos of nothing. I imagine nobody here watched the Man of Steel fan chat that happened this weekend in advance of the Blu-ray. So Man of Steel, the movie about Superman.
Nobody?
They had a thing online where Kevin Smith was talking to Amy Adams and Zack Snyder, and then by satellite, Henry Cavill, who basically sat there for an hour, and every once in a while they'd be like, oh yeah, Henry Cavill exists. And they'd be like, what do you think about Superman? And he'd be like, good, on a 3-second delay. It was terrible. And Kevin Smith just talked the entire time. Amy Adams, on the other hand, awesome, talking about how much she loves Superman, how she used to run around as Superman all the time, always wanted to be Lois Lane, auditioned every time there was a chance to be Lois Lane, and was the entire time, though, Kevin Smith being like, wow, see, girls can be into comics, too. Look at that. Look at that. She likes Superman. And then she told this story about the reason she got into Superman was her gymnastics team was having a sleepover, and somebody put in a VHS of Superman 2. Not even Superman 1, but Superman 2. And she's like, I have no idea what this is, but this is the most awesome thing ever. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Smith's first question was like, oh, so it was like a co-ed party?
What?
Yeah. And she was like, no, 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 it's just girls. And he was like, yeah, but there must have been some boys there to bring in the tape. And
what?
Actually, honestly, totally confused.
Girls don't live in houses that also have boys.
Exactly. Oh, my God. It was so insulting and terrible. But I guess that's why that existed, and that's why they made it uncomfortable, is Kevin Smith going to every comic book store and making people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever I meet a girl who says she saw Man of Steel, I call her a liar, because that's not true, right?
Yeah, no, I don't. I
Superman
think they refuse them tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, all movies and TV shows and entertainment in general.
What?
Did I go too far?
Yeah, yeah.
It's starting
bit,
right now.
This bit has gone too far.
Cool. Let's go back to the Arrow bit. What do you guys think of Arrow?
Have you even heard of the show?
Does he have a quiver full of boxing glove arrows? Or?
I wish. Not yet. No. We haven't worked that way up.
Okay, yeah. It is not. So it's not true to the comics whatsoever.
I started watching the show about the second season. I watched it a little bit of the first season and found it.
I've seen every single episode.
You're amazing, Pete. You're an amazing person. And a tribute to the human race.
Yeah.
But it took him an entire season to decide that maybe he should be called Arrow.
Yep. Because it was the Hood.
He was the Hood or the Vigilante. And the end of the first episode, he's like, no, I got to be something different. Got to be a different name. And they said, oh, what do you think your name should be? And he thought and didn't say anything. And the camera zoomed in on an arrow. Yeah. And then the second episode, people were like, that's the Vigilante. And he's like,
why do you
call
the Vigilante,
Arrow?
By the way?
So
is that a fancy way of saying Vigilante?
Vigilante is
Vigilante?
The real term.
I'm sorry.
So CW in its wisdom decided to drop the green for some reason?
Well, that would be pretty weird if he was a guy dressing in a suit called Green Arrow.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, also the arrow he was staring at was green.
That's true.
I'm thinking maybe third season we'll put that on there.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting.
Work up to it.
Yeah, exactly. We can't have everything at once.
Fans in.
Yeah,
it took 11,000 years to dress Superman up as Superman on Smallville. So, you know.
Yeah. That's how care. CW works.
The slow.
Small. It's the slow iceberg
build.
Yeah. Kind
on the Vampire Diaries, it's been 5 seasons, and they haven't even introduced vampires or diaries. Cute Girl Network in stores now-ish.
Now, yeah.
Yes.
Bookstores everywhere now. Amazon. But what's the deal with the direct market stuff?
Diamond didn't have it on its list this week, so maybe next week if your store orders things that way. But if you use the internet, then places have it.
There we go.
Use the internet. You heard it here first.
We broke that news.
Yep.
All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some books that came out this week, comic books that we particularly liked. Yep. And this week, our pick, our only pick, is Arrow number 25 from DC Comics. Exciting.
Yep.
This is a book tying into Batman Zero Year, what's going on in Batman right now. This is doing a flashback to one of the first years of Batman. All the power.
Batman had a crossbow in this issue.
Yeah, well, all of the power has been knocked out in Gotham City by the Riddler. This is going into the second part of Scott Snyder's epic retelling of Batman's origin. And we are now seeing what's going on with some of the other heroes. We saw what happened with Superman while this is going on. We saw what happened with the Flash while this is going on. Now in this issue, we get to see Green Arrow actually returning from his island at the same time as this is happening as Bruce Wayne.
And this is the first appearance of Diggle. From the TV show. So now Diggle is a part of the comic book.
Yeah, so I know all of you guys are huge fans of Arrow, the TV show, on the CW, airing every Wednesday night at 8 p.m., which is, of course, why you're here on Pete and Alex's Arrow Hour. So this is kind of exciting to see the TV character, John Diggle, finally in comic books. What do you guys think about that?
Who?
Did you say who or boo?
Who?
Oh, boo. A little bit of both.
Who?
Boo.
Boo. Yeah. Boo. Are you saying
John
boo
Diggle
or booerns?
Booerns. John Diggle is assistant, his driver.
No, it's the security.
Security guard?
He's a badass security guard who is an ex-military agent.
Whoa, dude. Pete, do you have like a file on every character in Arrow?
Nope.
Mm?
Nope.
Well, seriously, though, this comic actually is
this
really
comic
good.
Is actually really good.
Yes. It's written by Jeff Lemire. It's drawn by Andrea Sorrentino.
Jeff Lemire, guys. All right. Yeah. So check it out. All right. Yeah. That's some serious good. Cred. Yep.
And there's some really fun, exciting, funny moments in here. Arrow, Oliver Queen, returns to his city at the same time as Batman has come back from his epic journey where he was training to be a ninja Batman guy. And his first thing he says is like, God damn, that guy always ruins my entrances. He always steals it. And he's like, I'm another billionaire returning from exile. Come on, give me a break. He goes into Gotham City to rescue his mother, who's been helping out some people. And you were saying you thought it was a pretty emotional reunion.
Yeah, there was. It's a really kind of emotional thing, because if you've been watching the show, it's a struggle that he has with who do I tell, who do I don't tell. Nobody really knows. But his mom, spoilers, just takes off his hood, and it's like this really kind of powerful moment. She was like, oh, my God, you're alive. And it was kind of, I got choked up a little bit.
Yeah.
Andrea Sorrentino also uses, excellent artist, uses a lot of shading, a lot of darks throughout, a lot of heavy inks, I think, as well. And it looks really good.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a backup story with everybody's favorite character, Diggle. And we're going to find out more about him in upcoming issues.
Yeah,
yay!
Can't wait.
Pretty exciting. That's it for the stack.
Wait. We should.
Oh.
You know,
do you want to shout out?
Yeah.
What do you want to shout out to?
I think you know what I want to shout out.
Oh, Amazing X-Men number one?
Yes.
All right. Amazing X-Men number one came out. Has nothing to do with Arrow.
Has nothing to do with Arrow, but we did like it very much.
He barely appears at all.
Yep.
But there is a character called Nightcrawler who's back in the Marvel Universe. He's a bit of a swashbuckler, kind of like Arrow, so I think we could talk about it.
Yeah.
What'd you like about... What?
His tail
is... Oh, his tail is shaped like an arrow, so there you go. What'd you think about this issue?
I thought it was a great issue. I really loved how it started with him just kind of like sitting over the edge, being all deep and mysterious. And I thought it was fantastic. A lot of kind of cool stuff. Turns out his dad is a real douchebag, but, you know, so people can relate to that.
Yeah, so the general plot, Nightcrawler. You guys read any X-Men back in the day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? Fan of the Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
If you played the video game, you were probably always
Nightcrawler. Oh, my God, the Konami one with the double wide screen?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, Nightcrawler was my favorite.
Yeah, Nightcrawler was the best in that.
Well,
yeah,
Colossus is pretty cool.
No,
yeah, but Nightcrawler with the jumping, you go all the way across the screen, kill people from across the room is pretty bad.
Wait, is this the one where you can play as a Sentinel? Because I always played it.
Alex, just, all right, please, God. No, Colossus is the best because of the noise he made.
Well, sure, that was.
Yeah, which one could you play as a Sentinel, then?
Not that one.
Alex!
Did I imagine that?
No. The best part about the X-Men Konami video game is Magneto's line, "Welcome to die!" And then the cliff blows up and they all fall. And that was really...
Well, if you like that, you're going to love Amazing X-Men number
one. Oh, really?
One.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, only it's line. A huge amount of fun. It's written by Jason Aaron, drawn by Ed McGuinness. Mm-hmm. And this is... kind of picking up where Jason Aaron's Wolverine and the X-Men, which is about Wolverine running the Xavier School, left off. Here we get a team going after Nightcrawler, who died many, many years ago. He's been in heaven, finds out that there's still more for him to do on Earth, which sounds a little ridiculous, sounds a little hoity-toity, but it's
better than like coming up with a time bullet to like bring him back
He couldn't just like bamf back from heaven? That wasn't
He can't. Sorry. But there
Do mutants have their mutant powers in heaven? Is that addressed?
Well, this is the thing that's so fun about it, is it's Nightcrawler battling demons swashbuckling in heaven. And there's pirate ships going through heaven and everything. It feels like old school Excalibur, which is one of my favorite books ever. It's great. It's just really, really exciting and fun.
Yeah,
and at the end of the issue, Wolverine and Angel, Iceman?
Yep.
Iceman?
I think it was Angel.
Did he have wings, or was he made of ice?
what is it?
Wings or
Northstar.
Northstar.
Oh, neither. Good.
There we go. Wolverine and Northstar end up in heaven, and they suspect that maybe Nightcrawler is alive, and it's just great. really good issue. Has nothing to do with Arrow, so I don't know what we're talking
I'm sorry
about.
We derailed a little bit.
You know what? It's okay. I think we're going to move on to our next question. We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section, because Stephen Amell makes it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Booth Bang.
Booth Bang.
All right. Hit us right on target with that Arrow question number one, Boothman.
It's weird. Every question, every word is just Arrow, and then there's a question mark.
Yeah,
at the
let's
end.
Do a fortune cookie roll. So ask the question and end it with in Arrow.
Oh, that's perfect. I will do that right now.
Is that perfect?
Oh, it's. I'm not sure what perfect means, but okay. Oh, you can buy any superhero except Batman from the companies, but none of their supporting cast. None. Who do you buy?
So which main character do we like the best? I mean, Green Arrow.
Well, I mean, Arrow.
That's a
given, but Green Arrow aside.
Now, is this just the DC world, or is this...
It's the big two, I believe.
Oh, the big two. All right.
Pepsi and Coca-Cola, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Spider-Man, probably.
Spider-Man, huh?
Yeah, I love Spider-Man.
You don't think there's been enough Spider-Man movies lately? Like,
wait, movies?
No, I believe
comic
it's comics.
Books.
Well,
oh,
if comics. Someone wants to clarify... Whoever wrote this.
This is apparently a very confusing, straightforward question.
Yeah.
So I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but I feel like Spider-Man, over the course of its run, has been the most consistently fun.
Except recently.
Oh, you own the character.
You
and
own
the right.
slave? Jordan D. White, editor at Marvel Comics?
No, like you slavery? You could control what happens to the
Yeah,
the
like
proper.
A slave.
No.
Oh,
12 years
That's
of Spider-Man.
Yeah, have you 12 years of what? Spidey. Oh, my God.
All right, so let's say you and the character come to an understanding that all decisions got to go through you.
Yeah.
It's not an ownership situation.
You are owning it. You literally
Shit.
Own.
So I buy Spider-Man. Spider-Man doesn't exist at Marvel anymore. They're not allowed to use Spider-Man.
They exist at Zalbin.com Incorporated.
That's a terrible name for a company.
Yeah, that would be.
I told you to not
you
name your company.
You are fired as my lawyer.
I don't know why you hired me.
Can you imagine if somebody was you're so cheap. Rich they did that just so nobody else could have Spider-Man? It
would
be crazy.
How much money would that cost
Oh, my
to
God.
Buy Spider-Man?
Like billions, right?
Billions of dollars.
Probably.
Well, I would just buy something for. I would just like buy Ben Grimm. And so they would just. He would not be in that. It would just ruin it.
The Fantastic Four.
Everyone would hate me. Yeah. They'd make Fantastic Four movie and there'd be no... The Thing, and everyone would just be like, we hate Joe Flood because he bought Grimm, Ben Grimm for like $10 million and just won't let anyone have him. And he just has a, you know, has a guy dress up as him and walks around like on a piggyback, you know, and that's all I do with him.
This got real weird.
So in the comics, it would just be Fantastic Four, but they'd be like, hey, get the... Oh.
Yeah.
It's some time.
It's kind of a time right now
it's
for punching.
Today.
It's punching
well, hold
time.
On. Would you just buy Ben Grimm and not The Thing?
No, I would get
so
the
there'd
be
like
a package
an empty
deal.
Husk of rocks somewhere?
My name's John Drimm. Hello.
John Drimm?
Yeah.
John Drimm, The Thong.
So a flip-flop or?
Yeah. What about you? Who would you buy?
If it was like a type of situation where I would get to make use of their powers, I think I would be like... I might go for Nightcrawler just for, like, the ease in travel and not having to ever go to the airport.
Oh, so this is in real life.
Yes, this is in real life.
Oh, okay, so you're about
hey, it's your
you're
fantasy.
Actually
it's
talking.
Your fantasy. You make it whatever you want.
You're
okay.
actually talking about slavery.
Yes, which I am.
Oh, but he's not a human,
no.
so...
Come on,
like
dude.
Locked
hey.
In a cage.
No, he would be your he would be
I,
your friend.
I gotta interrupt here. I gotta interrupt here. Saying that really makes it sound like you'd lock him in a cage. I'm just saying. So, all
right. He would just bamf right out of there. That's foolish.
Yeah, yeah. He would bamf out of there.
No, you could do some sort of mutant inhibitors, right? Could you buy those as sort of like a side purchase?
It's extra. It doesn't come with Nightcrawler. It doesn't come with them.
Yeah. While I'm here buying Nightcrawler, can I get one of those as well?
Why can't you buy Batman? That's my question.
Yeah.
You just figured
I like
everyone
how it's like,
Batman.
You can't buy Batman, so I took care of that angle. Because the first thing I thought of was Batman.
Oh, okay. So the idea is you would buy Batman because that's probably the most IP
lucrative.
To make you the
yeah,
most
lucrative.
Money.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Right, as opposed to buying Maggot, and then you can't do much with that.
Yeah. What do you mean? You can do so much.
Yeah,
I'm sure somebody owns Maggot right now, and that's why they're not using them.
Yeah. Actually, we're here at Fontana's in New York. There's a guy out front who will give away Baggett to whoever comes by.
Oh, man.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that, Editor Marvel. George, you're going to get some free comics.
Wait, you didn't answer it.
Oh, I didn't? Didn't I say Spider-Man?
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, sure. I'd buy Spider-Man.
I would buy Spider-Man and then take him away from
Dan Slott. Oh, but none of their supporting characters. So it's Spider-Man and that he needs to meet a whole new group of people. No Flash Thompson, no Aunt May, nothing like that?
That'd be weird.
Ah, Cypher then. All right, let's get the next question.
Okay. What comic, if any, ended without a finish that you wish would start again? And would you keep the same creative team? If not, who? Okay, no more questions.
In Arrow.
In Arrow.
Oh, okay, thank
you.
So
I guess for
so
Arrow.
Unfinished comic that you would like to see finished.
But you can change the team, the team.
Two that come to mind offhand, Thor the Mighty Avenger, I think is the clear, absolutely, I would want to see that. That was Roger Langridge and Chris Samnee is probably one of, if not the best Thor story of all time. I mean, excusing the Simonson run, I guess. It's an all-ages tale of Thor. I don't know if you guys read it at all. It's great. Good for everybody, pretty much. And if you saw Thor this weekend or Into Thor, Thor the Mighty Avenger is a book you should pick up. Never got finished. Only got up to the 10th issue and a special, and that was it. And I think there were still two issues left that they need to do. So I'd love to see that. The other one, there's a Matt Fraction book called The Order that he did with Barry Kitson that was about a team of superheroes that I think they bought their superpowers. Was that the idea? I don't know. They were government-mandated superheroes. They only had them for a short time, for about a year. It was very nuanced. There was some great character stuff. I think it kind of did end, but it was a very abbreviated end to the run. It got ended very quickly in one issue. I would love to see more of that with Matt Fraction and Barry Kitson. Pete, what about you?
All-Star Batman and Robin.
With who?
Wow. Would you change the team?
I would tie them. I would lock them in a room and make them finish it.
So you're also into slavery.
Damn it. Well, no, because once they're done, they're free.
What, Pete? So, that isn't a good reason at all.
I tried.
So Pete's into indentured servitude.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get, like, Rob Liefeld to finish it or something.
No, that'd be a bad idea.
No? What about you guys? What would you want to see finished that was never finished?
Pirates of Coney Island.
That's a good one.
Right.
Wow.
Was there just one issue of that?
No, there were four.
Okay. Two that were supposed to be finished, and they'll, like, not be able to collect it until those last two are done. And it's like, come on, that's, like, 50 pages. That's almost nothing.
Is James Callahan doing that?
I don't know.
I heard that from Rick Spears. Well, maybe I shouldn't say this. Maybe I should. Can you edit that out?
Absolutely not.
Okay, cool. Because those are actual real people working in the comic industry, and I just spread gossip
and
about them.
I probably just made Rick cry if he.
Yeah, we. Yeah.
I just want to mention that is a
Rick,
Pete and Alex's
Rick will punch
Arrow
me in
Hour
the face next time he sees
that
me.
You just gave.
Yeah. No, none of that is actually substantiated at all whatsoever.
Cool. What about you? What would you want to see?
Wow, that's a really tough question, and I can't answer that right. I can't think of anything that is unfinished that I
would like
to see.
Well, how about something you would like to see more of that you really liked? Maybe that would help.
Oh, wow.
You made it worse, Pete. Great.
I'm going to pick up something really, really obscure. Do you guys ever read Breathtaker by Mark Hempel? I would love just to see more. I like to see that come back.
What was that
about? Really, really obscure around the time, like, Vertigo was doing a bunch of, like, I guess he was just did this. Right before he did the Sandman stuff, he did this really cool comic about a woman who's a succubus. And, like, she has superpowers, but she's genetically engineered. And then there's The Man, who's, like, this also genetically engineered superhero. And his moniker is like The Man TM, so he's like trademarked. He has like a little trademark symbol on his tie, and he's like big and huge, and he's like this big broad-shouldered guy, and you know, he's like the big powerhouse, but she kind of like, you know, basically uses sex to suck people's power and make herself like, and so she's ageless, so she's like, you know, 45, but she looks like she's 23. And it was just like the story, like I want someone who can like maybe the story is kind of meh, but the artwork is just so unbelievably beautiful and amazing looking that I would love to just see more of that.
So who would you want to see write it?
Wow, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
Wow, you're putting me on the spot here. I'm gonna throw
Rob Liefeld.
Rob Liefeld.
Anyone but Rob Liefeld.
Todd McFarlane.
Green Arrow. The guy. Oh, I don't know his name, but the guy.
Baracus.
He's in that. He wrote Umbrella Academy.
Oh, Gerard Way.
Gerard Way. Yes, thank you. Yes, I would. He would be perfect for that. I think he would make some really smart, clever.
Cool. We'll get on that. We'll make that happen.
Cool.
For
yeah,
you.
Awesome. We'll thank you. I just picked out like the most obscure things in my brain that just were like, hey, I'd love to see more of this of stuff that I read
the most
15 years ago
and by someone who's in a humongously popular band.
No. The original title.
Yes.
Yeah. I doubt any of your listeners have maybe one of them would be like, oh yeah, I read that book. No. I was like, yeah,
well, maybe all of them have. Jeez.
Yeah. I just want to mention, if you have heard of that book, write us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com, and you will own Joe. <Which is crazy.
laughs> Prove me wrong.
Yeah, there we go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
If you were a superhero, who would you want to be your arch nemesis?
In Arrow.
If you were Arrow, who would Arrow your arrow in Arrow?
Arch nemesis, Pete. Justin?
Justin is definitely my arch nemesis.
Yeah, that's already established.
Yeah.
And you're married to him.
Oh, that's going to be weird. We're Jedi married, and he's...
He's going to become a bigamist.
Pete, you got to go. You got to stop that wedding.
I got to go.
I hate
he's
you.
Not getting
Don't
married
get married
right now.
What?
He's not getting.
He might be.
You think he's eloping?
The second you get engaged, it could happen at any second.
Wow.
You never know when it'll happen.
That's crazy.
He sneaks up on you.
Alex, how did you get married?
I don't know.
It just happened one day?
I woke up one morning.
She let you out of the basement and then you guys were married?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, 12 years and I love you. So, do you guys have any ideas why Pete is thinking about it, arch nemesis you would want to have?
Wow. MK, you have anything?
I'm totally blanking.
Stilt Man.
I don't know.
Yeah, because then you would...
I would just win.
Yep.
Choose someone from real life. Choose somebody from real life.
Yeah, choose a person we don't know.
Fucking you. I choose you.
Can I just pick Stalin or something?
Oh, he's dead. You won.
You won.
Right. I won.
Yay.
Congratulations.
You showed him.
Joe won. Stalin zero. Yeah.
Stalin's back for more. Joe two.
Actually, wasn't it the Tick cartoon show where, the Tick, and he was also in the comic book where it was Joseph Stalin was a villain, but he wasn't really Joseph Stalin. He was just a guy who looked like him and then took on the name and the visage, like he, you know, and so he was the terror episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, that I would fight that Joseph Stalin. It would be almost as good as fighting the original one.
I think I'd like to be arch nemesis with Dr. Doom, just because he'd come up and I'd be like, oh, cool, Dr. Doom, and 3 seconds later I'd be dead. But at least, you know, I got to see him before
I don't
I
know
die.
If you would quite...
So your fantasy is to be killed by Dr. Doom.
Well, I was running down in my head all the villains that I actually like, and I was like, Cameron Hodge from the X-Men, but he's a hideous spider robot guy. That would be terrifying. Or Strife is super sharp, or anything like that. All of those villains, the Joker...
So you thought
the Joker would kill absolutely everybody in the entire world. That would also be terrifying. Dr. Doom, at least, I think I'd be excited to meet Dr. Doom. And then I die.
No.
At least it wouldn't be totally terrifying.
Okay. It's a good answer.
Neat.
Yeah.
What about you? Other than Justin.
Yeah, other than Justin, I would have to say my nemesis is the guy who took Pete LePage on Twitter, whoever that asshole is.
Well, what about a favorite Arrow villain? From the TV show, not the
comics. Okay, from the TV show... I don't know. I'm going to have to say Slade. I love Slade on the TV show. Yeah.
Cool.
We haven't quite had the transformation yet, but it's coming.
What's his deal?
Oh, it's coming.
What's like Slade's thing?
Well, he's got two machetes that just kind of like hang out and he like trains in all sorts of weapons and
he'll
he's stuck on the island.
Yeah. Has he been Deathstroke yet?
I don't know.
I thought he was.
No, they call him Slade. They haven't said he's Deathstroke.
But didn't Deathstroke show up or his mask or something?
Yeah, his mask, yeah.
Yeah, but separately, like on the mask has like a whole different
thing. On the mask. The mask would be my arch nemesis.
I would pick the dog from the mask.
The son of the mask?
The little dog mask. Yeah. Not the son, because that's a human.
The dog who breaks him out of jail when he's in jail.
I feel like that's terrifying.
Milo? Are you talking about Milo, the dog from the mask and the subsequent
Jim
sequel?
Jim Carrey with
son
Cameron
of the mask?
Diaz. Yeah.
There you go. Yep. You win. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman and Stephen Amell. All right, guys. We're going to move to our next section, which we like to call The Week in Arrow. All right, this week in The Week in Arrow, we like to talk about all the stuff going on in Arrow, elsewhere in the world of Arrow. First thing to talk about, this week's Arrow. Pete, what'd you think? League of Assassins.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a real
thing. In a fake TV.
It's a real thing.
In real
life? Yeah, so we had kind of like some nice shout-outs to Batman in this episode.
I just want to ask, is this weird for you to actually be able to talk about Arrow?
It's, yeah, I can't believe we're actually going to do it.
Aren't we supposed to interrupt him and stop him from talking?
Yeah, like immediately.
No. Not this time.
Yeah. This is the one time I actually get
to talk. Don't fuck it up, Pete.
Yeah, I know. I'm really nervous.
But actually, let's put it off till the end because I think there is a couple of other things people will want to hear about. I know, again, it's not really an Arrow thing, but Thor the Dark World came out this past weekend.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think everybody in the world saw it. Did you guys see it?
No, but
everyone in the world saw it. He just
said, in the world?
He's stumped.
But one of the supporting characters, wasn't she in that movie? With that guy, where they were in an amusement park.
Adventureland?
Yeah. Is that...
You're thinking of Kristen Stewart.
Oh, I'm thinking...
Natalie
Portman
was in it? She is
Natalie
a different
Portman.
Person.
No, who's Natalie Portman's friend?
Kate Dennings.
Oh, what is
Kat
she
Dennings.
In?
Two Broke Girls.
Oh, okay.
And a couple
others. I kind of admit
she's
to knowing that
stuff.
Show exists.
Oh, okay. You're being really racist towards white girls at this point.
Yeah.
That's so all right. He drew a whole book about it.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's true.
So, Thor the Dark World, you did see it, though, Pete.
I did see it. I really liked it. A lot of people have been saying it's better than the first one. I would kind of agree with that statement.
I would disagree with that statement.
All right. You're an asshole. I thought it was really well done. The beginning was a little slow, but I didn't care. I loved the kind of twists and turns. They kind of like, I was like, oh man, don't do this to me. Cause I didn't want to, I really hated in the Hulk where the villain was just this big cloud. And it's like, how's a Hulk going to fight a cloud? So I was nervous a couple times in the movie that we were just going to have a fight with a kind of dust bunny type of thing.
Yeah, that really worked out.
The Hulk fought a cloud.
That was kind of like the, in the Hulk movie was.
The end of the Ang Lee Hulk is his dad turns into a cloud and he fights a cloud.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that. I thought you were talking about the Ed Norton one. No.
And then in Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer,
that was also
Galactus
a cloud.
Is also a cloud.
Wow.
And then they fight a cloud.
It's like, stop with the cloud stuff.
Yeah. Not fun.
Thank you. Zalbin speaks
Thank you for reminding me about the horrible end of that movie.
I will say that
out of my mind.
That movie is not as worthless as people say it is. There is some crazy, fun, interesting, weird stuff in it.
Which one?
I would totally agree.
It's weird.
It's weird, but it's very interesting.
It just kind of disappointed in certain aspects and was really kind of cool in other ways. I don't know. It's a mixed bag. I guess I'd have to see it again.
Yeah. Do you remember that the Hulk becomes bigger over the course of the entire movie? He starts out almost banner-sized.
He gets angrier.
He's almost as big as an entire room.
He gets angrier as the movie goes on.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah.
So basically, if the studio hadn't tied his hands, you think we would have had a really, really cool, weird, awesome Hulk movie instead of like a half weird? Like it just seems like so much of that movie was like, hey, he wanted to make it really weird and interesting and cool and like really out. Like, out there, and they just wouldn't let him. Like, I remember he wanted to make the Hulk naked, but they're like, no, he needs purple pants. Why? Because the Hulk has purple pants. Okay.
Yeah.
And he just kind of,
They could have pushed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what
they could have pushed it, but the fans want purple pants.
Yeah.
It freaks me out when you say purple pants.
No, that's why I can't stop saying it.
Okay. But anyways, back to the Thor movie that we were talking about.
Yes.
I thought it was really well done. I like now how like Marvel will put up credits before the end of the movie now to make you wait until the actual end of the movie. It's kind of hilarious. It's not. It doesn't feel like bonus scenes anymore. I'm like, guys, you have to show me the last part. You've been building up to this. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you mean the actual after-credit sequence, which is the actual end of the movie?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, I understand why they did it. The last thing that happens before the credits is kind of a big deal.
Sure.
Mild spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen it, but essentially, I think more than a Thor movie, it's a Loki movie. I mean, if you look at it, the arc of the only person who has an arc in the movie is Loki. That's pretty much it.
And it's an amazing arc.
Yeah, it's a great arc. I mean, Tom Hiddleston is amazing.
Yeah, he's and just the range that he has and the depth. I mean, the fact that you think here's this awful character, but like that one part where you Thor walks up and then he just kind of lets his guard down. You really was like, oh. So great.
Well, yeah. Wow, you're really making me want to watch this movie. Did I have to see the first one to get this one? And please don't take away my nerd card because I just said I didn't see
No, I don't think so. You should see the first one, though, because it's my favorite Marvel movie.
Get out of it. Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Get out of town.
He's kind of an asshole.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think...
It is ridiculous.
The first Thor is
fucking
a
Iron
really
Man,
simple
douche.
Movie with a very...
Iron Man.
Yeah,
the Avengers.
Overrated. Avengers, slow to start, but...
Because I've seen
Thor,
that's the only one I haven't seen of that Marvel Studios
like Thor. It's very funny in surprising ways. The Chris Hemsworth is great. Tom Hiddleston is great. And it's a very simple story. It takes place over 3 days, and it's just about a guy who's a huge jerk, and he learns to be a little bit less of a jerk. That's pretty much it. And I think, as opposed to having world-ending scenarios where the entire universe is going to end, where the stakes are basically, you got to be a nicer guy or you won't be able to hold your hammer. That's kind of cool.
It's a lesson everyone can learn.
Yeah, exactly. we can all learn.
I went into a hardware store the other day, and they're like, be less of a jerk, and we'll sell you hammers. And I was like, no, thank you. I'll hit those nails in with my head.
So I was a little disappointed to change gears a little bit. I was a little disappointed to talk about the movie again. I was the only one who was, like, clapping or making any noise when Stan Lee came on the screen. I was a little disappointed in the audience I was seeing it with. Also, people started to get up and leave as soon as the first credit sequence came up. And I started to heckle. I was like, where are you going, guys? It's not over.
Amateurs.
Oh, you're that guy.
I'm that guy, yeah.
Did you yell at anyone for texting during the movie?
No, but I would if I see that. I saw a movie with Justin once, and
Justin was the guy texting?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh, what an asshole.
Yeah, right next to me. I want to kill him.
He is your nemesis, isn't he?
What?
He is your nemesis.
In many ways, yes.
He deserves to get unengaged for that.
I don't know about that. Let's not, you know. Yeah. He's going to go through enough punishment being married.
Whoa! Man, your laughter when you make jokes like that is weird.
Pete. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and those tears.
So, moving on from Thor 2, there was another big Marvel announcement that came out last week after the show. This is a pretty big deal. Seeing the success of the CW's Arrow and how well DC is doing with TV shows, Marvel has decided to get into the game and do 5 TV shows on Netflix. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but they're going to do a series of 4, at least 13-episode series. Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, all leading up to a Defenders miniseries that's going to bring them all together.
What?
Like, which is insane.
That is a nerd dream.
Wow.
That is a nerd dream right there.
It's crazy. What do you guys think about that? Are you going to check any of that stuff out?
I'm excited for Jessica Jones.
Right?
Yeah. I have all of the Bendis aliases from like a decade ago.
Now, here's my big question about Jessica Jones. That is a Max book. Like, eventually it got into not being a Max book. But for the most of its run, it's a pretty hardcore book. And Netflix has no content restrictions. You could push it.
Ooh.
But I wonder if Marvel would actually go there.
I don't know. I mean, as part of Disney now, it seems like they maybe would not... Be
go for an anal sex scene?
Yeah.
What?
Not like...
What did you just say? Did you just fucking say that?
I don't think that's ever been said on this show.
Yeah.
No, I have said go for an anal sex scene every single episode of this show.
You whisper it right before it ends?
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
We're here every week at Fontana's in New York. Go for an anal sex scene. Good night.
I don't remember that part.
Always end the show like that. Pay attention. Go back through the shows. Listen.
Oh, wow. That's what they call an Easter egg.
Gross.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Pete's gross.
Yeah.
That's
right. You're gross. That aside, I mean, what do you guys think? Would they actually push it? Would they go for a more mature show since they do have the opportunity on Netflix?
They have the opportunity. I don't think they're going to go for it. I think they're going to try and go for the middle of the road kind of a thing, which is usually why I get so disappointed with this kind of thing. But I maybe it'll keep my hopes up. You know, we'll see where it goes. I mean, you know.
I don't know. I think there's definitely room out there for like a family friendly female led show in that thing. And also I just don't see it happening with, like, a Disney thing.
Yeah. Well, what about two sides of the equation? Today they also announced that Drew Goddard, who co-wrote and I believe directed Cabin in the Woods with Joss Whedon, is going potentially to be leading up the Daredevil series, potentially writing every single episode of the show, which is kind of cool and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is great. So on both sides of the fence, Ben Affleck's coming back as Daredevil.
Sweet.
Jennifer Garner coming back as Elektra. Colin Farrell. I'm not going to keep doing this joke.
Okay.
but who would you guys want to see as the leads on the show? And on the other side of the fence, who would you guys want to see leading up the show, those shows other than Drew Goddard?
It's a lot. It's a lot to tackle.
That's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care. I'm just so excited about the show. I really don't care who they cast. I think it's just exciting that we're getting all those great shows.
You really
on Netflix.
Don't care who they cast?
No, I mean, I'm not thinking to myself, oh, what's his name? It's got to be Luke Cage. I'm sure they'll get somebody, and you know, it'll be great. I don't have like a, oh my God, they're making a Luke Cage. It's got to be, you know.
Yeah, I don't have a leading man Rolodex handy of like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
You don't?
I don't. I wish I did.
Having posted a casting story on MTV News last week.
Oh, here we go. Please bring it up.
Plugging it. But I'll
steer all your questions to plug your own shit, please.
I'm not doing that. I'm actually curious to hear what you guys think about these choices. So for Daredevil, there was a couple of choices I was going through. A lot of
Matt
people
Damon.
Michael C. Hall, who is Dexter, to play Daredevil, which I thought was kind of a cool choice.
That would work.
I was also kind of thinking of Neil Patrick Harris.
I think
that would be kind of interesting and exciting.
No.
I think he would work pretty well.
He can't punch people.
He's the voice of the Flash for the Bruce Timm, Paul Dini stuff.
Do that.
Like, right? Is that...
No, I mean, you can't do that.
What? Oh, I just... What?
Yeah, that would be cool.
No, but I mean, that's what I remember. That's is
no,
as far
as
like
done
Neil Patrick Harris superhero stuff. That's like the first thing I think of.
Sure.
So I guess I wouldn't see him as Daredevil because I just know him as
too
the Flash.
Red.
What? Too much red.
Yeah. For Luke Cage, a bunch of people I think put up Michael J. White, who played Tiger on Arrow,
but
as we all know.
Yeah.
Would be good. I was kind of thinking. I know he appeared in S.H.I.E.L.D., but J. August Richards. Everybody thought going into the first episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. he was playing Luke Cage on the show. I know he's appeared on TV in another role, but I don't think that really matters. And I feel like he would be perfect for Luke Cage. He would just be great.
I want Elvis Alba.
Idris Elba?
Yeah. I just love him. I think he should be in everything.
He was amazing in Thor 2. It was great.
Yeah.
For
Luther is an amazing show that he's on.
Jessica Jones, my pick. I don't know if you guys watch Orphan Black on BBC America, and you should because it's awesome. Tatiana Maslany, who plays the lead, I would love to see her as Jessica Jones. She watch Orphan Black. You'll know she's the right point of choice. And then Iron Fist, I don't remember who we chose.
Oh, wow.
But here's my other thought. I'm going to throw this by you guys. So Defenders, my thought is they're building up to this miniseries. They're going to have these four leads. They're all going to come together. In Avengers, they brought in other characters. My thought in Defenders, this is my guess. This is based on almost absolutely nothing. I think they're going to bring in Ghost Rider and Punisher.
Oh.
And I think, there we go, that guy likes it. I think that's how they're going to reintroduce those characters.
Yeah, because, you know, why aren't you doing something with Punisher?
Totally.
You know what I
mean? Here's my choice.
Seriously, why the fuck not, Marvel?
Here's what I think they should do, and I know this is a while off. It's probably going to be like 2016. For Ghost Rider, I think they should get Norman Reedus. I think that would be great.
That'd be awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
He's pretty much perfect for the role.
He really is.
Looks good riding a motorcycle, killing undead things.
Oh, boy.
And for the Punisher, I think you're going to like this. I think they should get Thomas Jane.
Yeah!
He's really good as the Punisher. Yeah, he really owns it.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome.
All right. Last thing to talk about is Arrow. We skipped ahead.
Yeah, all right. Thank God. Got back here.
Latest episode, League of Assassins. It is Pete and Alex's Arrow Hour.
I can't wait.
So let's talk about the show. This is a big episode. Huge stuff happened here. Yep. Huge shout-outs to DC Comic Book Fan. Great things teased.
Oh, yeah.
Pete, you want to take it away?
Sure. First off, we
and
have...
And that's all the time we have. That's
Come on. Come on.
Guys, we're going to move on to our next section. Which
the Black Canary stuff was amazing.
Pete. Yeah, they mentioned Talia al Ghul and Ra's al Ghul and all that stuff that was great, but we don't have any time. So trivia, Pete.
You son of a bitch. I knew you were going to do that, you asshole. You're just as bad as Justin. You're not any better.
I couldn't believe you believed him.
The greatest trick I ever played was making you believe me about that thing.
No, I knew it was coming, you son of a bitch. We've been doing this too long. 7 years we've been doing this goddamn show, guys, all right? All right, here we go. Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience.
Were you about to start trivia without actually having somebody?
Nope.
Okay.
This part we give back to you, the lovely audience. An opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. A simple...
Maybe somebody new
yes.
to the show.
Oh, yes, great. You. Maybe a guy wearing a Cobra shirt.
Awesome. Cobra Commander.
He could be an evil man.
What is your name, sir?
Kenny.
Kenny? Audience,
hello,
Kenny.
Audience. Hi, Kenny.
You guys remember him? He was just hanging out with you guys a minute ago. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, and then you win $25. What's
so hard about that?
It's not a problem. Here's your $25. That's how confident I am you're going to win. Here we go. So as long as you read every comic, you're set, all right? Question number one. In Forever Evil number 3, we see some fun interactions between Lex Luthor and blank. Is it A, Bizarro, B, Wonder Woman, or C, Black Friday Shoppers? So it's either A, Bizarro, or don't pick B.
Uh-oh.
I hate Black Friday Shoppers.
It's not an option.
Bizarro?
Yes, you are correct, sir. In Batman Superman number 5, who is the bad guy in this issue? Is it A, Lex Luthor, B, Toy Master, or is it C, Holiday Travel? So it's either A, Lex Luthor, don't pick A, or it's B, Toy Master.
I'm going to go with Toy Master.
Toy Master is correct, sir. Here we go. Last and final question. In Captain America number 13, which was an amazing issue, Remender getting back to some serious great stuff. We have a fantastic fight scene that sprawls into many pages and panels. It is Captain America versus blank. Is it A, Nuke, B, the Red Skull, or C, Tryptophan? So it's either A, Nuke, which would make sense, or it's B, the Red Skull, because the Red Skull's not in this issue. Do not pick B.
I'm not going to pick B.
Great. A, say A. A is correct. Yeah! Kenny wins.
Awesome. Great job. And by the way, check out the Captain America Thanksgiving special where he does fight Tryptophan on sale in a couple of weeks.
Hopefully he wins. Because I don't know if anybody wins against Tryptophan.
I think he goes to sleep and falls into some ice again.
Damn it, Tryptophan.
That guy. Captain America, I mean, not Tryptophan. I don't think Tryptophan is a guy, Pete.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
I think it's an evil person that lives in all of our turkeys.
That's the weirdest thing you've ever said on this show.
I doubt it.
There's been a lot of weird things said on this show.
But that's number one. So as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Batman number 25. It's this indie book. Not a lot of people have heard of it, but you should probably check it out. Scott Snyder is doing an amazing job with the Batman kind of reboot year one.
0 year. Cool. I'm looking forward to Manifest Destiny number 1 is coming out from Image Comics tomorrow. To be honest, I don't know a lot about it other than I believe it's Lewis and Clark fighting monsters in the New World or something like that. But Image has been on such a roll with weird, interesting number 1 comics lately that at this point I will check out pretty much anything new that they put out and give it a try. So I'm very excited about that. What are you looking forward to?
I'm excited for Bandette by Paul Tobin and Colleen Coover.
Is that a collection is coming out?
I think it's a collection.
Awesome.
But they're just awesome. So.
Yeah, that is their award-winning story about a girl robber who has a team of accomplices who also saves the day most of the time. I think that's the way I put it, right? What are you looking forward to?
Abe Sapien, number 7.
Yeah!
Always good. And plug your stuff, guys. What should you check out?
Yeah, plug your
stuff. What should people check out?
The Cute Girl Network is out maybe now, maybe next week, if you shop in comic stores like some kind of grandpa.
Hey, don't make fun of people who shop in comic book stores.
Grandpas.
I also shop at comic book stores.
My mother was a comic book store.
Yeah. That's
my
a hell of a lady.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
My mother was a grandpa?
You've got some explaining to do.
Cool. And online, where can people check you out?
We have a Tumblr at cutegirlnetwork.com. Yeah. And then I have mkreed, reed.com, and
kneedeeppress.com. And that's kneedeeppress.com.
Cool. A couple of things before we go, guys. Next week on the show, comedian Danielle Marie Ward is going to be here, so that's pretty exciting. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Yep.
Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Check us out on Twitter, at Comic Book Live, comicbookclublive.com, and Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, if you want to congratulate Justin, hit him up on Twitter, at JT Sizzle. You can definitely do that.
JT Sizzle. What there a handle.
He's an adult now, you guys.
Yeah, he's an adult.
A couple of other people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Trahan. We want to thank MK and Joe for being here.
Yeah.
Boothman. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in Funtown, in New York. Go for the Adelsex. Good night.
Yeah, what? No, come on.